If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on Kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
So, you'll remember, I think about a year ago, I spoke about how there's certain assets people should buy cash if they can, and then others that I think they should finance, right? Mm-mm-mm. So, you will have seen yesterday, Jay-Z and his wife, Beyonce, combined net worth of over $3 billion with the B, US dollars. Mm-hmm. They've got a few houses. One is in Bel Air. They bought that one about 4 or 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe slightly longer, I can't remember. But it turns out when they bought the house, they had a mortgage on it, right? And they've since taken out another mortgage, a further $50 million on it. But that's not to say that they broke. A lot of people are speculating that they now broke. They also recently bought a house in Malibu. That one was $200 million. They bought that one cash. Right? So I don't necessarily think it's the fact that they don't have money. There may be something here that we are unaware of. And so whenever a situation like this arises, I like to call in a good friend of ours, Cass Tole, who is a CA himself and is a very good friend of the show's. Kai, how's it going?
I'm all good. Good morning to everyone.
Yes, sir. So maybe let's start off with this. When we're speaking about liquidity, what is liquidity?
Liquidity is basically access to cash, how much cash you are able to readily use for whatever investment purposes in particular that you have in mind. So a person who is highly liquid is one who is able to readily, essentially, access cash in order to be able to invest in particular assets. And why that particularly matters in relation to asset acquisitions is that if you want to make short-term decisions and buy an asset or invest in something in the immediate term, the more liquid you are, the more able you are, or the more agile you are in making that investment decision. If you are less liquid, it takes a bit longer, and by the time the decision is made, the opportunity may have escaped.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a couple of things there, right? You spoke about agility. You spoke about time, and then you spoke about access to cash. So let's say, for example, there is a particular asset class that I want to buy. And this thing is time sensitive in that if I don't buy it now, somebody else may buy it, for example, right? Would that be a good enough reason for me to then want to buy that as cash and then later on refinance once I know that I've secured the asset?
Well, firstly, it's always going to be a matter of how easily you are able to access cash and cash resources.
Yeah.
So it may well be that your credit profile is so strong, you can literally call a bank in the morning and say, I need 100 million rand by the end of the day. And if you've got pre-existing relationships, they can activate that and you'll be close to receiving that by the end of the day. Now, that depends on long-term relationships and obviously the quality of your assets. If, however, you do not have a very strong relationship or maybe your assets need to be valued before a decision is made, you may simply then say, look, I need to be able to use the cash. And once I've got the approvals, let's say that I'm good enough to be borrowed that amount of money, then I receive that amount of money as a loan, I repay the gap or I close the gap, the cash gap that I had, I created when I use my cash, and then I carry on with just the loan component. But that really is a matter of just how strong your relationships are and the quality of the assets that you already have.
Now, that's another very good point, the quality of the asset, right? Because, for example, if I have two properties and one is in a highly sought after area where generally properties move relatively quickly versus another asset, which is maybe just valuable to me, but maybe they don't sell as quickly in that area. You can kind of regard the asset that moves relatively quickly as, I don't want to use the term more liquid, but it's one where you'd be able to get your money out quicker, strictly speaking, right? And so if you were to go to a bank and put that up as security, you can kind of be guaranteed that the bank will snatch that offer very first or very quickly first before they take the other offer of the other house, which wouldn't move so quickly, right?
Yeah, and I think in essence, what liquidity also refers to is the ability to convert an asset into cash. Mm. And the reason we refer to cash as a liquid asset is that it's the one that simply exchanges hands with the most minimum friction. So what that means is that if you and I are trying to exchange property or we're trying to exchange hard assets, there's a lot of steps involved. But if I'm simply trying to give you 100 rand or I'm trying to give you 1,000 rand, then it's simply an exchange of money. So cash is the most liquid of all the assets. So what we then want to be able to figure out is if you do want to shift from one asset to the other, how easily would that be achieved? And in instances where your bankers or your resident advisors say that, look, we can turn this transaction around in 3 months or 6 months time in the property market, that's relatively a fast turnaround time. So it would mean that within the 3 month or that 6 month period, what was simply a hard asset, what was property, could then be converted into cash, and then you'll be liquid enough to then to decide what you want to do with that particular cash. So that's what the essence of liquidity is in this context.
Okay. Now, these are billionaires that we're talking about in Jay-Z and Beyonce. What about the ordinary Joe, myself or yourself? Is it a good idea to keep our assets locked in some kind of a leverage structure? Or should we always try and pay these things up and then have them unencumbered as soon as possible?
Again, there is never going to be a universal answer. Everybody's circumstances are different. But in the context of the transaction that has happened here, you have individuals who clearly can afford to buy these assets for cash, but they've taken the view that, well, if we go and borrow a loan and we say to the bank, should anything go wrong, the asset that you can have as collateral or as security is the house. What that does is that it minimizes the expenses or the interest costs that they get charged. And what that simply means is that the bank will say, look, we'll charge you a particular interest rate, but because we think it's very unlikely that you're going to default, and even if you do default, here's an asset that's worth much more than what you are borrowing from us, then we'll give you the lowest interest rate possible. But what they then receive, they will then receive the cash, and the question is then, how do they deploy that cash? So if they can take that cash and invest it in an asset or in any other instrument that gives them a return that is higher than the interest that they're being charged by the bank, they're actually then growing their asset base. So at any point in time, when you track the cash flows, you look at the loan that they received, you look at how much they're paying in interest, and then you compare it to what they've invested in. And if those assets are growing at a faster pace than the liability that they owe, then they're in a better position. And that's essentially why they would enter into a transaction of this nature, even though we know that they all have the type of cash that could enable them to just do it without having to call a bank.
Hmm. I mean, you brought up one more thing that I now have to ask you, even though we're running out of time. The interest portion of this discussion. Strictly speaking, if you are trying to minimize tax, interest is something that can help you, is it not?
Yes, interest is generally tax deductible, but that depends on how well you've structured it and in which jurisdictions you operate in. So in South Africa, for example, if you buy your primary residence, then the interest is unlikely to be deductible because the basis for deducting interest for tax purposes is a question of whether you are trading. So if your property is then held under a company or a corporate structure, and you can indicate that this is maybe the asset that you use for rental purposes or for your Airbnb, then it is an asset that falls within the ambit of trade. So therefore, the interest out there will have a tax deduction. So therefore, you end up paying a reduced amount. But yet again, we are not offering financial advice. Everybody's circumstances are different. But the principle is indeed that you can be able to find a way of minimizing your taxes if you structure these transactions properly.
Thank you very much. So we're going to leave it. Cast Sole, good friend of the show's. CASA as well. Let us know what your thoughts are.
I think, yeah, both Beyonce and the rich, this is how they play the market or play the game. They use the bank's money to make more money. They'll take the cash to a big concert and get revenue back. And then, for us to do that, it will be impossible. I think Kaya must try and give us a section where they talk to us, small people. How do we, my financial advice, in a way, how do we do the same thing about Beyonce doing about Jay-Z?
Well, Kaya Biz, hosted by Google Mfupi, who obviously always does a throw forward with us, they have a section called Casinoics. So if you tune in, you'll be able to catch that, and they'll give you some ideas about how it is that you can supplement your income.
I once heard that millionaires don't use their own money to do business. They use other people's money and make a profit out of it and pay it back. So maybe that's what they're doing.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.